thank you for your presence. Pray for every person here. Some of these people here, Father, they're like regular members, been with us for a long time. Some people are new, some people are visiting. Some people know you. Some people really haven't met you or really engaged real close with you. But every one of them is precious to you. I pray that all the preconceptions we might have about what you're like would just drop away, and that the very person of the Holy Spirit would really like enlighten our hearts, so that every one of us would see things we'd never seen before, and that your love for people would be made more and more real. I'm asking that in Jesus' name. Amen. Fantastic. Thank Grace, will you, and the band. They did a great job today. And I'm going to share, and the title of the message here is Love is the Answer. Everyone say, Love is the Answer. Love actually is the answer. Love is what people are looking for. And I want to tie that into a little bit about God. You'll notice I've got this here because in my other life, I'm a very well-respected artist. And you're going to discover that shortly when you see some of the things that flow smoothly from my pens. Not really, that was a joke. Maybe you're not used to my sense of humor, but here we go. I just want to make a few simple points, and we do this breakfast service, okay? We do this for a couple of reasons. One is because we just like to eat. That's a pretty reasonable one. Two is because we believe that the church should be the answer for the world. We believe that God is good and that people have enough problems in life without coming to church and getting some more. So we try and do stuff that reflects our whole perspective on life. And we're very keen to do two things, really. In fact, I feel completely called with my life. I'm from Australia. I've been here for 16 years, and I'm staying. You're stuck with me. You Poms, as they say in Australia. Is that right? You don't consider Pom rude, do you? No, there are other kind of adjectives they use, but I'm not using those, no. I love England. I'm here by choice. I tell the English that all the time. They still don't believe me. They look at the weather, and I say, yeah, look, it's perfect. Why would you ever leave? And so then I get to talk to them a little bit. But this is a great country, full of great people, and God loves them very much. And so that's why I'm here, and I'm here for life. I love it here. I have beautiful parents in Australia. My dad turns 80 at the end of this year, and he's very keen for me to go back and say hello. So I'm trying to kind of organise that. And that's it. There's a price to pay, you know. My parents are important to me, and I have two sisters. They're both now in Australia. And so emails and Skype and all that help, and Facebook, but you have to do what God's called you to do. And you don't want to be a reluctant recruit either. You don't want to be like, yeah, well, that's what God wants me to do. Yeah, I suppose I have to do it. No. If that's what God is into, then you make the choice to be happy about it, and your heart and your emotions follow your choices. Did you know that? It's same with relationships, same with marriage. You know, some people, well, I just don't feel in love. Well, you know, I've got a beautiful wife, but I can assure you I don't feel in love sometimes. And if that comes as news to you, then you're probably not married. Or you're a liar, one or the other. Because we live in this strange world, you know, with movies where we all think, I'm a very loving husband, I've got a gorgeous wife, but we're just human people. You just don't feel super in love all the time. But that's not what marriage is. Marriage is like a decision, you know, and I decide, I made this choice, I'm going to be an honourable person. I was a good choice, you'll agree. I'm going to live by what I said I'm going to live by, whether I feel like it or not. That's called the beginning of maturity. Hello? Yeah. And that's true of life. And if you learn that, you see, then you'll find that your emotions will follow your decisions. We live in a world where it's like, if it feels good, do it. But that doesn't work very well. If you keep making that your mode of life, you're going to get in trouble sooner or later. But what you do is you find the right thing to do, and then you make your heart, you say, come on, heart, come on. This is the way we're going. We're living right. We're keeping good attitudes. Whoops, we slipped. Yeah, it's okay. We can slip up, but let's go again. Are you with me? And so it's really important to know that and to help us. And we believe in two things, really. Empowering God's people, just gathering as many of God's people as we can and bringing stuff to them that makes their life thrive and shine and changes it. And then we believe at the same time in reaching 90-something percent of Staines and all the immediate territory that doesn't know that God loves them, that has probably never sat and heard a message like I'm about to speak to you now, just started to speak to you now. And we owe it to them to understand, to do our best to describe to people how much God loves them. Because once upon a time, I never knew God loved me, you see. And if you're honest, then you all were in that stage at some point. Just didn't have a clue. When I was a kid at school, you know, I was a cocky young thing, and I was, you know, probably a bit confused, and you know, I thought I knew a lot, and I thought, oh God, I used to say this to the Christians at school. There were a few Christians around, you know, those, you know, the boring kind. So I determined they are enough to put anybody off. You know what I'm saying? And you might as well not look at me like that. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, and I was like, yes, if God's really there, why doesn't he? Come on, like Bruce Almighty. Smite me, oh great. That's what I used to do. But I didn't use Bruce's language. I used to say, why doesn't he just come and zap me right now? That's what I used to say. Because I never knew he loved me. And they were patient and God was patient. And then I discovered at about 16 that he really did love me. I'm still figuring it out. You know what I mean? It takes a while. But God is really good. And I discovered that as a young Australian kind of musical, sporty, just a regular kind of guy with all my own sets of issues and problems and didn't want to be like my parents and all the arrests that most of us go through. You know, I discovered that this God was really real and that he really cared about me. And it just flipped my head completely out. I'd never known anything like that. And that's really what started the whole journey. And I'm really thankful that I haven't forgotten that, because for all these people in Staines, whether they're 6, 16 or 106, and in your local communities, whoever you connect with, relate to, they need to know that. Because I reckon this, if people found out how awesome God was and how much he loved them, many of them would just fall in love with him. That's what happened to me. And so it's no good us pointing the finger saying, you guys should be going to church, you guys shouldn't be getting abortions, you guys should be blah, 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 blah. There's no point in that. Why should an un-Christian person live by Christian lifestyle? That just doesn't add up to me. You know, that's religion. That's where the problems come from. That's where Northern Ireland got its problems from and all the other religious wars. Because we try and force somebody else to live according to the standards we think they should have. That is not the gospel. That's not Christianity. Christianity is you receive this life from God and it changes you from someone that was maybe messed up, confused, whatever, and now you find life and you know that it wasn't your great brilliance that did it. So then you go to all these other people and you say, you know, I was just as messed up as you were. You say it nicely, you know, you have to be careful. And I've found an answer. Well, some of them are ready to receive an answer and some of them are not, but you just are patient, loving, kind, proactive, and you love people. So that's what we live for. That's what our church is really all about, just having the best time, empowering God's people and then reaching all these people. And we're committed. We've given our life to it. We're putting money into it. We do everything we can, don't we, darling, to do that? And then every now and then we try and fit in a holiday somewhere. Amen. But you've got to be committed. Is that right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I love it. Living life without commitment is a waste of time.
Somebody told me I should be committed one time.
Yeah? Ladies and gentlemen, that's Ian Stevens. Give him a big hand there. All right. They're just a few introductory kind of points, but I'm not going to take long. I want to explain to you just a couple of really simple steps. I want to explain to you kind of what God is like. Because here's what happened, right? God made everything good. Everyone say good. God made everything good. And God is up here. I'm doing this course at the moment with the Bible College students. We're continuing tonight. And we're talking about the devil as well. You've heard of him, Satan. And a lot of people think like God and Satan, they're like, you know, the same level. And it's a battle and all that. That's not good theology. This is God up here. And he rules everything. And he knows everything. The devil's just not like that. And he's everywhere at once. And I could keep going, and you probably can't read my hieroglyphics anyway. Rules everything, knows everything, made everything. There was a time when there were no other creations, no planets, no people, no angels, no nothing, but he was there, and he didn't need anything but himself. And he is phenomenal. And he made people. Now, the way he made things is like this. There's three of him right together. I'm just going to use the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the FJSH combo. There's three of them in one. They discuss things together. They have a meeting place in heaven. They talk about stuff. And they said, let's make people like us. So here's us, men and women, both in God's image. And all the women said, amen. I don't know why we say amen. We should say a women, just to kind of fix it up. I could be starting something here. Right, now then we have these other creations, okay. Now these are very interesting. This is a whole angelic mob. Angels. Now, angels includes a guy called Satan, and it also includes a guy called Michael, and also includes a guy most probably at this level. These are like the archangels called Gabriel. Okay, now you can't be definitive about that, but what we definitely know is now, angels can do really powerful things. I mean, they can, but, and there are certain things they can do that we can't do. But they are not created superior to man. That's what you've got to remember. And that's the downside, or that's this is what I'm dealing with here, is the fallout of some of the kind of educational emphasis we've had since I was a child in the last 50 years. Of all, you know, and I don't have time or interest really to go into all that, but the bottom line is this. People have lost their sense of how great they were made. People were made in his image. Angels were not made in God's image. Satan was not made in God's image. Satan, there are levels of authority in the angelic realm. Some are more important than others. Just like if you run a nation, a town called Staines, and you have certain employees at the top and then middle ranks and all that, there are just different levels of authority. It's exactly the same when God runs heaven, does it exactly the same. There are certain... And this guy, Satan, who some in some versions they call him Lucifer as well, and Michael and Gabriel, they would appear to be three key players right at the top. And so this guy, God makes man in his own image, and he is the apple of God's eye. People, men and women. And we're, one version of the Bible, one psalm says, we're just a little bit lower. Everyone say a little bit lower. We're like God, and we're a little bit lower. We are much more like God than we realize. And if you realize that, and if you accepted that, it would change the way you approach life. See, a lot of people do dumb things. You ever done any dumb things? And we do dumb things mostly because we don't realize how awesome we are and how powerful we are. So we see a girl and we think, isn't she gorgeous? Or, you know, a guy or whatever. And we think, and sometimes in this world, I'm not talking about, of course, you would never do this. You wouldn't even think like this, I know. But people do, you know, believe me, I've heard. And you see a guy or you see a girl and you think she's cute and you smoke too much or drink too much and you think I'll get into bed with her, that'll feel good. And there's probably a part of you that says, maybe this isn't such a good idea. But because there is someone made for you that you want to spend the rest of your life with and you want that to work great. And when you've been really intimately involved with other people before that, it makes that harder. That's all. God's not a prude. God's not like anti-sex. God's very intersex, actually. He designed the whole idea. I could keep going here, but I'm just seeing a few ears go a bit red. He designed the whole idea. He's not anti-sex at all. It's we humans that are prudish. Oh, let's not talk about that. But God designed all that, but God wants you to live a great life, to get to 50 and 60 and 70 with kids and grandkids and be happy and healthy. And we're full of a world that is getting people that are 40, 50, 60, 70 and 80 and they're not happy and they're not healthy because they did something impulsively when they were young and religion said, you naughty boy, don't do that. And so everyone ran away, understandably. But what God said is, hey, listen, you're more important than that. You're so valuable, you can produce something incredible with your life. Don't give it away cheaply. Yeah. Amen. Same with your words. Sometimes we use words And we don't realize how powerful they are. And we put people down. And we all do it, you know. And or we put ourselves down. I'm no good at this. I don't look very good. I don't feel good. I can't do that. I can't cope with this anymore. I can't. It's too much for me. What a load of codswallop. Nothing is too much for you. You were made just a little bit lower than God. But you got your thinking wrong. You started to think like, oh, this is all overwhelming. It's not overwhelming at all. But somebody lied to you along the way. And this guy here, Satan, he gets behind a lot of those lies because he tries to diminish how valuable you are. Now, let me explain how this works. So this is us. And what God did, right, God's ruling and he rules heaven. And then he made a place called earth. Okay? And earth is like heaven. They're very similar. Trees, streets, houses, gardens, parks, rivers, butterflies, birds, elephants probably, animals. Very similar. Birch trees, leaves, flowers, the whole deal. Because he made earth like heaven. And then he made us like him. And then he said, okay, you guys, you are the apple of my eye. Teach me, let me train you. Because I am God after all, you know, that's his right. Let me train you. Let me just give you full reign. You run earth like I run heaven. I'll show you how to do it. And that's what we're supposed to do. You with me? Then you get this guy. He's the troublemaker here. Satan. Not up this height, but down here. But he had war with this guy because he wanted to be like God. He was very beautiful, evidently, to look at. And you'll probably see him one day if you haven't already. But he was very beautiful to look at. But his problem was that he got pride in his heart and he wanted to be like God. He was an angel, a very powerful angel. And so he rebelled against God and God sent him down to the earth. Said, get out of here. And so he's on earth and we're on earth. Who's supposed to run the earth? We are. You just got to deal with this guy like God deals with this guy. Are you with me? So then we have this. Now, here's where the problem comes. Is that we're ruling, and this guy's a liar, and God says, listen, follow my instructions. If you follow me, everything's going to be all right. You know, like your parents say, except that your parents are sometimes wrong, but God's always right. That's right. But trust your parents anyway and respect them. And everybody said, yes.
Yes.
So, God's a liar. God's not a liar. Satan's a liar. They're going to pinch that little bit out of my message, right? Put it on Facebook, and they say, this is what this Van Essen bloke at Greater Life Church says. And Satan's a liar. And he says to these people, because these people are the apple of God's eye, these people, men and women, they have the position he wants. We're in charge here. But he's smart. He's cunning. He says, did God really say that? Did God say don't touch that tree? And it doesn't matter really what he said or didn't say. The point is this. If you yield to God and you say, I'll follow you, then you're fine. And if you yield to this liar instead of following God, then you've sided with the wrong side. And that's what people did, Adam and Eve. They chose to believe Satan, and then they had a big thing, and this is the word I use, they had a big disconnect. Boom. They disconnected with God because of that. Okay? I'm making this very simple. And some of you will have heard some of this, but I'm explaining it to you because it's really important that we understand how things work, because we get a lot of religious ideas sometimes that are not the way God thinks at all. So, for instance, we start thinking, you know, like that Satan is more powerful than us and stuff like that, and he's just not. But he'll lie to you and try and convince you that he is. And if he can, he'll get you to spend your whole life under the barrel rather than on top of the barrel because you believed what he said. You're better to believe what I said. I'm a messenger of good news. Satan is not. So you've got to make your choice. And so we disconnected from God. Okay, so then here's God's love, okay? Because I said in the moment, God made everything good and then God loves people. And that's what I want you to understand. The instant this happens, we disconnect, okay? They use this word sin. I don't like this word at all because I think it just sounds so religious. Sin. You know, nobody talks like that. When they created the word sin, when they first started using the word sin, it didn't have the meaning that it has now because it was just the common vernacular, if you know what that means. It was just common language. We religiousize everything. And sin, in other words, we missed it. That's what it means. sin in the Greek is hamartia. Everyone say hamartia. Sounds Japanese, but it's actually Greek. It means you missed it. It's an archery term. Hamartia is used in archery. When you shoot for the finger and you miss, you sin. That's what it means. So you're better to say he missed it. We missed it. We blew it. You ever done that in life? Okay, that's what Adam did. And so, God loves people. So with this missed it thing, then we have this disconnect, right? We've got people walking around, and I want you to understand this. Here's us humans, okay? But we've got a disconnect. Just working with my mic and my colours. You'll see, it's pretty impressive, isn't it? Can you see it all okay, or should I put it up on the stage?
You see what it is,
yeah? You can see it. Can you see what it is? Can you see all right there? We got this disconnect between us because God is a God of love and a God of life, and we were flowing just fine in the life of God. It used to come down to us, but now you've got a problem. Now you've got a disconnect, so the life doesn't flow. So God thinks, how am I going to fix this problem? And what he could have said was, you got yourself into it, you can get yourself out of it. And that's how people, unfortunately, and this is why I'm telling you this, to look at yourself differently and to look at other people differently. Because that's God could have done that, and he was perfectly within his right. He set us up to live a great life. And we made a choice, not you personally, okay, and that's the key thing, but mankind made a choice. And we, when we were born, we inherited a disconnection. Which is why the idea, well, I was born a Christian, that doesn't really work. It's not really possible. Because a Christian is a person where the plug is connected back to God and life flows from God into you. Amen. That's what a Christian is. And you can't be born that way. Everyone is born with a natural disconnect. But God's very clever and very kind. He loves people. He says, look, you got yourself into it, but I'll get you out of it. All right? And that's why he sends Jesus. Are you with me? And you know the story, and I'm not going to go into it in too detail, but there's Jesus. This is my modern version. I'm really getting quite carried away with the artwork here today. But Jesus died on a cross. You know that story. And the important thing that you got to know is that all the disconnect and everything associated with it, he took on him. Okay? That's what you got to understand. It doesn't matter what version of the Bible you read. It doesn't matter whether you have a cross around your neck or not. It doesn't matter whether you wear a t-shirt that says Jesus loves me or whether you just wear ones like this one. None of that matters. What matters is goes on the inside of your heart. It's really important to understand that because sometimes the people with all the paraphernalia, they haven't got the inside part right anyway. I don't mind the paraphernalia, but it's not the important thing. So he takes the disconnect. And with that disconnect, there's all this stuff. We call it sin, but every mistake. Okay? With that, when man was here, he was perfectly healthy. Perfectly whole. Did any of you see the Noah film? There was some pretty good insights in there. I enjoyed it. And one of the bits that I liked, just bear in mind that he's a movie maker, not a Bible teacher, but it's a lot more accurate than a lot of the extremist Christian activist people got carried away with. And anyway, so there's Adam and Eve. And when they did a picture, they did images of them, Adam and Eve, in the garden, and they were like white light. And that's very probably how they were, made in the image of God. Angels are like that. When angels appear, they always appear, almost always, as like white light, made of flame, weight of light. They're just made of something different to this stuff, to flesh and blood. But we were all this stuff. When God made them, they were perfect. There was no, you know, Eve didn't wander around with a bad back. Adam didn't have skin cancer. They were perfectly whole. That's how God made them. But as a result of the disconnect, sickness comes in. As a result of the disconnect, torment comes in. As a result of the disconnect, fear comes in. And all the other associated. Cancer is all a part of that. Hatred is all a part of that. It's all a part of the disconnect. And the point is this, that Jesus carried the disconnect. Should I get this up on the thinger? Because I'm at the bottom of the page now. And I can see the people looking at me like they would look at Vincent van Gogh. You know, that kind of look. Wow, they say. Thank you. And so, all this stuff was carried on the disconnect. Now, here's us. Here's us disconnected, right? And we're carrying all this stuff. Are you with me? And that's really, when they use the word sin, that's what you mean. You carry stuff through life. Pains about the mistakes you made, consequences, sicknesses, mental illnesses, all those kinds of stuff. They're all here. And the point is that he carried them. Are you with me? Because I'm making it really simple. He carried them. They were on him. And they were on him so that they would not be on you. He took away the disconnect with all its consequences. Are you with me? That's what happened 2,000 years ago. So the disconnect. Now, we live in a world, I'm saying this very simply, because most Christians don't think like that. They might agree with it theologically. They might say, yes, the cross, yes, we understand, that's very good. But they don't live as if all the disconnect is gone. They live getting up in the morning saying, oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm short of money. Oh, my life is full of problems. Oh, sickness. I guess that's part of my... Why would he carry it and then you carry it as well? The point of him carrying it was that you don't have to carry it. Are you with me? So then you say, well, how come we Christians, so many of us, walk around with different aspects of this disconnection in our lives? Very simple. It's like God has, you are in jail to this disconnection, this sin, this mistake. It's like a jail that holds you and you can never be your real self. Jesus comes, opens the jail door. But unless you walk out, you might as well be locked in. And that's what most Christians do. Most Christians just live like they're still in jail and the door's open. And if they're not careful and they've been there for 10 years and you start to tell them, you don't have to live inside that jail anymore, and they start to criticize you because it just sounds too good to be true. And they'll throw something at you like, well, if it's too good, sounds too good to be true, it probably is, you know. And I'll just stay comfortable in my jail. No, the door is open. What are we doing still inside? How does this work? It works exactly like God said it would in Proverbs when he said, it's the way a man thinks that he is. As a man thinks, so he is. The door's open, but if you think you're stuck in jail, you're going to be stuck there. It's like the elephants, and this is all true story, some of you will know that. The elephants in the old days when they used to use them in a cruel way, I guess, and it wasn't considered that way at the time, but they used to use them in circuses, you know, and you don't want elephants running through town. So they would put a chain on one of their legs and chain it to a post, and it might have like 5 meters of chain. And it would walk along and it would get to the end of the chain, pull, couldn't go any further, and then it would go back and it would keep it within 5 meters of the post. You with me? And they would do that for some period of time. It might be 6 months or it might be a year, something like that. And then they didn't worry about the post anymore. You just leave the chain there because the elephant is so conditioned to thinking that it can't move that it just never moved. So it would get to the 5 meters, the chain wouldn't pull, and it would just go back again because that's all it's ever done. And that's exactly what happens to people, which is why we urgently need a revolution of understanding what God has done. If he carried it, you don't have to. Disconnection, you don't have to carry it. Lack of life, there's an open heaven over your life every day. God will talk to you every day. Everything you've ever done wrong has already been paid for every day. So this answers all a lot of religious questions. Well, what if I have to pray to God to forgive me my sins and then I commit a sin and then I run over the street, get hit by a bus and I didn't have time to say, do I still go to heaven? Some people, a decent number of people, struggle with questions like that, which to me are ridiculous because we didn't understand the disconnection's gone. It's not like God's some mean old schoolmaster that's just waiting for you to make a mistake. He loved people so much, he made the way. He put it on Jesus. Wasn't our idea even. So we just get to benefit. Everyone say benefit. Some Christians they don't like the word benefit. It's like, hang on a minute. What about sacrifice? Yeah, well, sacrifice is in the mix, but you start with benefit. Or else you can just, you know, go out there and tell everyone about Jesus and how miserable it is to follow him and how difficult and how your life used to be really good fun until you met Jesus, but now it's kind of miserable and boring. And you used to wear cool clothes until you met Jesus, but now you have to look like a nerd and And we used to listen to kind of cool music until we, you know, met Jesus and got to church, and then we started singing all boring songs that were 500 years old. I mean, you can live that kind of religion if you want to, but I'm not going to. Why would you? And even if you don't like the idea of being happy, you know, it might be a challenge for you. For the sake of everybody else there that hasn't met Jesus yet, get with the program anyway. Are you with me? You might find it's really pretty good to enjoy life. You might find that to accept what Jesus has done and to get rid of all the disconnect in your head, think, hang on a minute, I don't have to live under that. The jail's open. Let's walk. See, but you've got to walk. I'm encouraging you to walk, but I'm trying to push you. But I can't walk for you. You have to walk. You have to decide, I'm going to get a hold of that. And here's the final thing, and we're done. What happens when we understand this, this is what the whole world needs to know. Amen. You see, what happens is that often Christians carry this weight or parts of this weight that they don't have to. And then when they talk to people that haven't met Jesus, there's sometimes an anger, sometimes a disappointment, sometimes a story of why things haven't worked out like they should have. And I'm trying to help God's people discover that things have worked out really well already. Doesn't mean there aren't going to be challenges. It means that God has made the way open. You just got to keep walking. You know, you say, well, it's hard work walking. You know, I'd just rather sit on my butt in the jail. Yeah, well, you can if you want to. But I wouldn't. I think it's more fun living a great life. And I think those guys, when those people out there, see, and what happens is when you realize, actually, God's not mad at me. People say, well, I did this wrong, I did. God loved you so much that all the problems between you and him, he got out of the way before you even knew about it. I was talking to a lady just the other week about sickness and praying, and she's had some kind of religious upbringing, but not really a Christian. And she said, I've begged God if I could just have this. And I remember T.L. Osborne saying to me years ago, he said, why would you have to beg God to do something that he so wanted to do that he sent Jesus to accomplish it 2,000 years before? You don't have to beg God for anything. God's over and abundantly wanting to do it for you. The problem is that we think we've done something wrong. We think God's mad at us. He's taken it all out of the way. When you receive that, your life goes up a level. And then when you talk to other people, they look at you and they think, are you sure you're a proper Christian? Because all the other ones I know aren't that happy. You say, yeah, actually, I discovered some stuff. This is just the gospel. This is what the whole world is waiting for. Some of them are going to hear it and some of them are not going to hear it. And Jesus knew that because he said, look, I haven't come for the healthy people. I've just come for the sick. Some people are weighed down with weights and there are different reasons why they're just not at a place right now where they can say, yeah, I'm really weighed down. So you just be patient with them and love them and move on and find somebody else. And it might be next month and it might be next year. And it might be that Doreen talks to someone and then Sammy Moore meets them in the street and then one of our students drops the letterbox in and then they see us at Staines Day next year and then we have a free breakfast and then they finally meet Safine here, finally find someone, you know, friendly I'm teasing. And not that she's not friendly. It's that all you are friendly as well. And then finally they get here. And then they finally hear this. And what you understanding today, it might take them 6 months or it might take them 5 years, but just keep loving people. And don't be like, oh, you should have listened 6 months ago. Don't be like that. We could say that all about ourselves, couldn't we? Yeah, we should have listened 6 months ago. We should have listened 10 years ago. Amen. And if we had grace towards ourselves and just took a little bit of the pressure off ourselves, you'd find you'd have a lot more grace towards other people. And like I think it was Abraham Lincoln said, you'll catch more flies with a drop of honey than a gallon of gall. Gall is like bitter stuff. And God's smart like that. He wants to catch people in his love. He says, he looks at him and he says, now you don't know it, but I know exactly what's going on in your world. I know what the problems are and I can fix them. But if we're full of gall, full of problems, issues, questions, weights, sins, mistakes, guilt and all this stuff, which makes us not very sweet, you won't catch many people that way. But if you realize God is sweet on you, so you can be sweet on yourself, then you'll turn into, and people will just come. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's it. That's the end of the message. Let's just pray. Thank you very much. Father God, you're just wonderful. You're amazing and you're wonderful and you're great. And we're just starting to see it. And I pray, I might just get Grace to come and play the keyboards for me quietly there. We're just starting to see it, but I just really ask you to reveal to our hearts what you're really like, to cause our hearts to open. So this is not just some Australian guy, you know, speaking a message, but actually while I'm speaking, God, you're touching people's hearts and you're saying, hey, that's you. That's you that I love. That's you that I think's awesome. That you that I think you've got a great future. And I want to give people an opportunity real quick right now here this morning while all these eyes are closed, because that's nice and kind of respectful of other people. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God for yourself. I'm not going to kind of drag you out here, but I'm going to ask you that if what I'm saying here makes sense to you and you're sitting there and you say, you know, that makes sense to me and I want to be in on that. You might be sitting here saying, I've been a Christian for 20 years and I feel like maybe I've barely got it right at all. Maybe there's so much religion and stuff that this is like a whole fresh start. I want a fresh start. I want to pray for you. I just want to pray a simple prayer for you. Then there might be other people that say, look, I'm kind of never really knew God. But you're talking to him like he's your best friend. And that's what he wants to be. It's a very simple thing to open your heart and to say, yeah, I'd like to be your friend, God. And then there may be other people here, the third kind of category of people that are like, well, I've met him before, but somehow, you know, the connection isn't what it should be. I need to reconnect. It's like, I believe it. It makes sense, but the power's gone. The plug's fallen out. I want to re-plug in. If you're any one of those three people, and in your heart, you'll know it. Down on the inside, you'll feel like, yeah, that's me. Then I want to pray with you. We're going to do something real simple. All the eyes are closed here in the building. And I'm going to get you just to lift up your hand when I ask you to. I'm going to acknowledge it. And then you're going to put your hand down again. So that's just between you and me and God. And then we're going to pray a prayer out loud. And then I'm going to ask you to come and introduce yourself to me at the end of the service and come and say hi. Because I want to meet you and I want to help you to live, not just make a decision on a day, but live in an amazing life. Are you ready for that? Does that sound all right? So while we're all here, all eyes closed, just be bold, be brave. For goodness sake, don't worry about what somebody else thinks. I really believe that God's in the building touching people's hearts. And if you're sitting here with all these eyes closed now and you say, that's me, whichever of those categories you are, the power's fallen out or you never really have known him, or else you somehow, you might have known him, but it just all seems like it was so religious, you want a fresh start. If that's you, while all these eyes are closed, on the count of three, just slip your hand up for me so that I can see it, I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it down again. Are you ready? One, two, three. All those people that say, yeah, that's me. Wonderful. God bless you. Wonderful. God bless you. Fantastic. And that person there, wonderful. You can put your hand down again now. I can see that. God bless you. Well done. Is there anyone else here that wants to do that real quick? It's a good opportunity to do that. And wonderful. Anyone? Yes, wonderful. God bless you. Fantastic. Awesome. Four people here this morning. I felt like, yeah, I want to do that. Awesome. Praise God. Wonderful. You can all look up at me again now. Well done. That's pretty quick and painless, wasn't it, really?